Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, it's back. We've got a full day of podcasting today. So we've got Max Show at 4, we got the photo show at 6, and then we got the big show at 8. It's a fantastic podcasting day on the British Tech Network and proving that the sun never sets. We have people from all over the world. But I'm just going to say hello to one to start off with, which is Marie-Louise Blunn, who's in a pub in Harborne. Hello, mate.
Hello, how are you? Cheers to you. How's it going?
Oh,
you're
right. I'm so upset that you're drinking and I'm not.
I'm not. It's fine. Very delicious wine as well.
Yes. Now, you're in a pub, which is very apt because you're going to do a new show for us.
I am. Yeah, I'm quite excited about it. So we're going to do a show together called Crack at the Rootless, which is all about pub chat. It's very loosely... crafted show, really, where it just will go wherever it goes. But we'll have different brand owners on there talking about beer, different product reviews, things like that. But pretty much whatever happens, happens.
And we're going to taste beer.
Oh, yes. We're going to taste beer.
And we've already press-ganged Jeff into being our American correspondent.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really good. I've got a client that wants a 4th of July party, and they're having all American products on the bar. So it's pretty good to have an American guy that's going to help us prick the products.
Brilliant. That'll be brilliant.
I will do my best.
Excellent.
Oh, I'm putting all my faith in you. I really am.
That's cool.
Oh, great. No pressure.
So Crack at the Rootless will be on the... it's not following the same format. It won't be the Crack Show because that might attract a different attention. So
yes,
it's Crack at the Rootless. And the reason it's called the Rootless is because Marie owns a company called The Rootless Pub. And she's got an inflatable pub, which we'll show you when you come and watch it as well. So Crack at the Rootless, starting on the network as of next week. And we're recording the first one next Friday, or the second one, actually. But it's going to be the first one live. The first one airing out live will be on Friday next week, about 1 o'clock. So it'll be early for Jeff. It'll be about 7 a.m. for Jeff. But it'll be 1 o'clock live out, and then we're off and running. So that's Crack at the Rootless here. Marie, have a great time drinking with Drew. Thank you very much for coming along. And we will see you again next week.
We'll see you soon. Fantastic. Have a great show. Good to meet everybody. Take care. Bye.
Great to meet you.
Bye-bye. And you too. Take care. Bye now.
There we go.
Jeff drinking at 7 a.m. That's awesome.
Yeah, he might have to get a couple into sample.
Well, so if we're starting next Friday, 7 a.m.,
does that work?
I'll have to check my flights. I think I might be able to do the show, which means I'll be drinking in a hotel room before I go to the airport to get on a plane.
Oh, mate, nothing gets more Vegas. Nothing gets more Vegas than that.
And yes, I will be in Vegas. So
Oh, mate, loving it.
You're gonna need to have a Uber in room stripper for this pod.
Oh, well, mate, it is Vegas.
Dress the room. The week in Apple, we got a great pod. We got a full... this is 2 weeks. We had a full lineup on the Max Show. Starting us off, Doc, how you doing, buddy?
Aloha no kako. It's cracking.
That's all right, mate. I don't know what you said, but yes, absolutely. what's been going you in the sunny aisles? Have you had rain?
Oh, yeah, it's raining right now, and I was walking down here.
Really? Is it rainy season there, or is it just crap weather?
It rains every single day.
Right.
It's not like Manchester, like disgusting rain. Our rain is like really, really hard for 5 minutes and then done.
It rains every
day. Morning, just regular, they call it morning showers, but, you know, we just have a little quick one, and that's how the joint stays green.
Excellent. Cool. Next to him, Jeffrey, our new correspondent across the pond for beer. And bourbon.
You know, I feel like this is a really big responsibility.
You are carrying the weight of your nation, mate.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a good thing that I have a really good liquor store about a block and a half away.
Excellent, mate. If anyone knows anything about drinking, it's you.
I have years of experience. I'm a trained professional.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Wouldn't like to give it to someone who was incompetent.
That would be the worst.
That would be the worst. Next to him, it's Greeny Boy.
Hello, friend.
You're looking well, pal.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. And so are you.
Thank you, buddy. How's life been?
Really good. Yeah.
Excellent.
I won't share it online, but I've had some good news today, so I'm really chuffed about it.
Right. We'll do it at the end of the show after we've gone off. And if you want to know what it is, you'll have to join Greeny's clan and listen to British Mac, and then he'll tell you. Next to him, it's James Rickards. Where the hell have you been? I hope you've got a note.
Well, what can I say? Is my sound okay for a start? It's been a while. I've had to blow the dust off the mic.
Perfect.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's great, mate.
Oh, perfect. Well, in that case, being a foster dad to a nine-month-old baby has absolutely knocked me sideways for the past 3 to 4 weeks. I'm in the swing now, and thanks to a pep talk from you, young Ewan, your stallion, I'm back in the chair.
So. Yeah, you know what? You know exactly. Just you got to do the stuff you love, mate. You can't live your life doing work.
I know, but you know what? She's an absolute diamond, and she melts my heart. She does.
Well, that's a problem as well.
Thank you, mate. It's good to be back.
Yes. And last but by no means least whatsoever, Mr. Patrice Brendamore, how on earth are you? But you're looking well as well. Everyone's looking well today.
Well, it's a little bit early, but no, I'm good. Like,
man, shut up talking about early.
You said the bloke in a
while. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I keep forgetting that dark is like 4 or 3 hours away.
Yeah.
No. So still, I was still up at like 2:30 a.m. and I'm... I had to wake up at 7.
If you're burning the candle at both ends, man, that'll never do.
That's what happens when you get a mate, lad.
Yeah, it wasn't just true. It was just like a lot going on.
The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Starting us off then, 15-inch MacBook Pros with Retina displays are being recalled thanks to a smouldering one on Reddit. Apple announced the launch of voluntary recall and replacement program for 15-inch MacBook Pro ones with Retina displays sold between September 15th and September 15 and 2017, due to battery failure issues. If you're going to take it in, they're going to send it away to a center, though. They're not doing it in-house, and it's going to be away for 2 weeks.
Yeah, with really old machines, we like to depot them for the simple reason that in store, you only have limited amount of supply. You don't really have everything. And also... 9 times out of 10 on working on a machine over 3 or 4 years old, once you go to replace one part, something else goes wrong as you're putting it back together because things have been heated and set into place. So it's much better done at depot where all the parts exist, the cleaner environment exists, and multiple people exist. So it's just depot is much safer for things out of warranty. That's it. It's a smart business move, but you can't tell that to the customer. They don't get it. They just want you to go in the back and old school style, open the thing and drop out a battery and drop in a new one, but they're not. They're part of the board, so it's a little different.
Yeah, that was the first ones where they were integrated and you couldn't replace them, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was the Terrorist, I believe, the Terrorist.
Oh, yeah, lots of glue, too.
Lots of glue. Has anyone bothered to check if they've got that? I mean, James, you probably had that.
I had 3 or 4 of them, yeah.
I was going to ask James if he had one, but then I thought that's a pointless question. Of course he did.
Yeah, I probably did have. I mean, when I read this story earlier today, it was interesting because I don't remember anybody making an issue of it in our store anyway. With regards to batteries, it was, as we know, it was all keyboard problems that people were having. So this was actually a bit of a surprise to me when I heard the story. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
The thing to note is, though, it's not all MacBook Pros. It's only the 15-inch mid-2015 versions.
Yeah.
Like, if you go actually to the battery recall program, it says... of
serial numbers.
Yeah, that too.
There's a link, if you go to Mac Rumors, there is a link on there that says the recall program page, and it's got underlined with a hyperlink. And you just type in your Mac serial number, it tells you whether you're affected or not. So in true traditions, the chances are I'm not.
So here's what's really bad about the timing of the story. Literally the day before this happened, we had an incident, and I don't know if it made world news or national news, but we had an event at Honolulu International Airport where somebody's machine was getting scanned by the TSA, and they thought it was a laptop, but it turned out to be an external battery next to the laptop that was... one of those things that Adam always goes off about, you know, these non-certified batteries. Anyway, it started to burn, and instead of just burning in place and going away, it caught the idiotic foam neck pillow And so the neck pillow just caused a raucous amount of smoke. And, well, TSA did what TSA does. They panicked.
They
yelled fire. So people started running. And then the people started running, knocked down all of the stanchions. And all of the stanchions landing on the floor sound like gunshots. So the other half of the airport freaked out, thought it was an active shooter. And we closed down Honolulu International Airport for almost 5 hours.
And then Benny Hill stepped out.
Yeah, it was a comedy of errors. It was TSA's fault because they don't know you're not supposed to yell fire in a room with like 10,000 people in it. And it caused a thing, but it was just really trippy that at towards the end when all of the rumors were starting to die out and people were figuring out what it was, they thought it was a notebook. And the first thing I said was, please don't let it be a Mac. It wasn't, but then the next day this came out.
Here's a picture that was posted on Reddit. This is one of the actual affected Macs. So overheating and catching fire with machines that need replacement battery. Be sure to visit your Apple retail store and support before continuing use.
Public I think I'd be service. Running away after that picture, wouldn't you? You wouldn't stand there for too long, would you? Hovering over that.
Public service announcement over.
Thanks.
Okay. Tim's got in his arse in his hand over Trump. He said Trump's tariffs are going to reduce its economic contributions and global competitiveness. Apple's urged Tim. Tim has urged Trump administration not to proceed with tariffs at 25% on the 4 set of goods imported from China, which clearly impacts their products, which is iPhone, iPad, Mac, Apple Watch, Apple TV, AirPods, Beats, HomePods, and repair parts and more. He sent him a letter expressing his concern. I think that Apple's got to be a bit careful because I think Apple's a little bit of the problem because a lot of their money's overseas and they haven't brought it back into the States, so they haven't paid tax, so they haven't contributed as much to the economy. Plus, also, they're in the middle of a trade war. And I know we got our lost listener the other week who said we're not allowed to talk politics. Well, bollocks, yes we are, because this is a clear indication of what it is going to affect world prices.
Didn't they repatriate some of their money last year? I think they did. No, under the new Trump tax.
They got
Yes, they did.
Was that last year or was that under Obama, wasn't it, the tax holiday?
No, it was last year.
Yeah, they did some under Obama and then they did some more last year.
Right. Okay.
So, I think Apple is trying to put themselves in kind of a defensive position here because the whole thing with these tariffs, it's not tariffs aren't a thing that do what Trump seems to think or at least says they're going to do. And in the end, instead of being a real problem for China, this is going to be a real problem for American consumers and American companies. So I think Apple is trying to take a defensive position for themselves, of course, but that could bleed over for other companies too, because if Apple can apply some sort of pressure to stop these tariffs from happening or at least get them scaled back, then that helps Apple, but it will also help other companies too.
But Trump is obviously doing this in a way of trying to grind the axe against China, but what he's actually doing is saying to American firms, stop importing and start building and making America great again. But as you say, that's not exactly what the tariff does, because the company, there's no way in God's green earth that Apple's going to bring iPhone production to America. Not in a million years.
There's no infrastructure in the United States that can support the scale that Apple needs for iPhone production. I mean, it's as simple as that.
And actually, the funny part about it is kind of a double-edged sword. And this is really hilarious. And a lot of people don't seem to get this. And I've always wondered why the news, they're very good at bringing on, I guess the word is sort of insiders or consultants or people in the know. Every time this story comes up, they never bring in people in the know. Where we run into a huge snag is no one wants to give money for the education system. The education system in every state is struggling. Hawaii is 50 out of 50. So it's really bad here. It's something I'm quite passionate about. And we can't just pick up and say we want to bring these high-end tech-oriented jobs back to the U.S. when there's no one qualified to do those jobs. Probably one of the smartest engineers we have in the country is Patrice, and he ain't doing it. So it's like, if we want to do it, yes, we could probably do it in about 10 years. But one of the first things that would have to go is you'd have to give the STEM programs in this company and this country a huge boost. You would have to do some educational training outside of what's even available at colleges, because by the time accreditation services get a hold of IT classes, it's normally old. So a lot of schools are still teaching weird things that have kind of gone in past, like Windows 7 is still a class course in most universities. And it's just one of those things. Like, we'd have to get the education system there, and then we might be able to start producing bodies that could actually do this stuff. We're really good at consuming, but we killed factory when everybody wanted their kid to grow up and be, you know, a baller versus be a factory worker, because everyone talked crap about factory workers, and now we want everyone to make factories again. We really pushed out the concept. We considered factory workers almost lame. It wasn't right, but that's how it went in the 80s and the 90s and 2000s. And now you want to bring it back? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, also, roll back a century before that, and we had the whole stigma with company towns. And there, I mean, we had riots and essentially little wars all around the United States because of the company town system. And that's not something that I see coming back to the United States. So without the ability to have company towns, which is really what you need to be able to support the number of people that you would have to have in these factories, It doesn't matter how smart we are and how many incredible design systems Patrice can come up with, we're not going to get that company town infrastructure back in this country.
And then let's talk about your wage bill.
Yeah.
Because U.S. nationals are not working for $5 an hour.
Oh, they might. The problem is, well, there's need. I mean, there's not that education, and nobody really wants to do it. Like, it's not a kind of job that a lot of people nowadays like strive to do. Like, that was 50 to 100 years ago. That was the thing where it's like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to work for whatever General Electric or any other big company in a factory, and that was the thing that would do for the next 40 years. But nowadays, like, people are thinking about like IT, like computer science, like IT jobs, or like lawyers, or like medicine, like anything in medicine, whether it's a nurse or doctor, whatever. Like, that's the type of jobs, the higher paying, higher qualified jobs that like most people are looking at these days.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We were definitely taught, do your homework so you don't have to grow up to have a factory job. Mm-hmm. That was literally the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's a natural progression. Like, it's not a bad thing, I think. I mean, it's a natural progression. Like, as your like society or your country, your people, as they like evolve and like the education system becomes better, that's what people want to do, because that's where more things happen, and the factory jobs simply move either to automation or move somewhere else. Like, I don't think it's going to help anybody if the factories come back to the US.
So prices for the retail version of the iPhone XS will go to from $999 to $1,142 for the base model. That's a 14% increase because of these tariffs, allegedly. But they also could absorb it, which I don't see. That's never going to happen.
That's not going to happen. That's not how this works.
No. Never mind, eh?
Well, we're expecting the next phone to be a stupid amount of money again this year, aren't we? Let's face it. We had the conversation in September when the last phone came out. So Mm-hmm. Won't be a surprise come September.
Won't be long, mate. It'll be iPhone Lamborghini. iPhone Lamborghini. Oh.
I remember, Jim, when you bought your iPhone 10, and I used to sort of, when they bought a new version.
And we all said, wait a year.
But I used to take the Mac and say, oh, it's not the latest then. But really, is there any difference? I don't think really than maybe a slightly faster processor or a slightly better camera. I can't see any difference, and I can't see where they're going to take any of this. I think they nailed it with the iPhone 10. So, so where are they going to go?
Well, Will, that was a constant thing we spoke about over the time of the iPhone, is the fact that the iPhone 10 was such an amazing phone and still is. You know, it's still in my back pocket now. I love it. It's done the floor a million times and managed to survive, which is epic. Yeah. But the camera, I've been to a zoo this morning with the kids, and the video I've got and the stabilization I've got was incredible. It continues to blow me away. And at no point am I obviously going for the current one, which is the XS, is it? It's the S update, isn't it, that came out last September. Mm-hmm. So this September we'll see, obviously, I know this is an iPhone rumor, but you know, we'll see obviously more cameras this year, which I don't really want or need, so that'd be interesting.
You know, the thing with I don't want and don't need new cameras, I am so with you. And at the same time, when a new phone comes out with more cameras, better cameras, bigger cameras, it turns out we decided we actually do need those. I think it's just human nature. I love the cameras in my iPhone 10. I didn't feel like I needed better cameras than I had in my iPhone 7. And yet, I don't ever want to use an iPhone 7 camera again.
I mean, one of the best pictures I've ever taken. In fact, I will say probably the best picture I've ever taken. I took with an iPhone 1, I think, or something. And I think people got so obsessed with the quality of the photo that they lose track of what taking a photo it really, genuinely, is all about. And it's the quality of the way that the photograph is set up. It's and sort of the emotions from both a personal point of view and also from somebody who's looking at the photo for the first time that they get from it. And I think there's a limit, really, with photography. And it strikes me that phones are getting so, or companies are getting so desperate to find new things. And at the moment, they keep lashing on to photos. I don't give a monkeys about photos. I take very few, very little.
That's endemic, though. I mean, I'm going back to when I had a Sony Ericsson that had a stylus and back in the 90s, oh no, just after the 2000s when Ellis was born. And there's a picture of Sharon and Ellis that I took, and it's a lovely picture of them, but it's 2 megapixels. It looks absolutely shit now. And I printed it out and gave it to my mum and dad, and the copy of it on the paper is starting to fall to pieces. So it's all right, I'll print you another. Can't find it anywhere. And I've got rolls of film in the loft, some of which I fogged, and they're absolutely bugger all use, but I've still kept them. Whereas digital images, I found it harder and harder and harder to trace them and get them back up, even good ones that I value. Mm-hmm. And that's endemic of the population. It's just we're not treasuring photographs anymore.
Well, I must admit, since I've had this 9-month-old baby suddenly in my house, my iCloud storage has actually pinged me to tell me for the first time ever my iCloud storage is full and it won't be backing them up anymore. I've got to spend a whole £2.75 a month now as opposed to 75p, which I shouldn't moan about.
Which is significant for a tight ass like yourself.
Well, exactly. It's a it's a few cans of something that I like. But, you know, it's interesting when something new happens in your life, you don't realize, but you actually start to take lots more photographs, be it a new car or a new home you're trying to show somebody or a great holiday, you know, that you ramp up the amount of photographs you take. And suddenly when you get a prompt like you need to upgrade, you start looking at the photographs you've taken in the past and going, do you know what? I take 3 photographs when I really only need to take 1. but it's just the habit because I've got a 256 gigabyte iPhone, which is far too big for any man or beast. but I end up taking three photographs when one really could do. So I do need to spend a bit of time going through my iPhone reel and having a look at that. But isn't that amazing that we're so easy at taking multiple photographs now when really, you know, back in the day, we'd almost frame that one photo and wait very patiently for Boots to print them out and show us what we've done wrong.
you invest your time, don't you, and your and hard work into that particular photo. And when you know, on my honeymoon, we only took one photo, and that was with one of those pinhole cameras, and that was the only one. And I still value that today. And these cameras that can take 14 megapixels or whatever it is these days, I mean, really, do we need that?
Speaking as a professional photographer, I'd like to say yes, please.
Yes.
That's slightly different to most of us, isn't it? I mean, you know, most of us just take sort of holiday snaps and things like that.
Here's the thing. Like, I knew from the beginning that I was going to fall in love with this stuff. And I knew from the beginning that I needed to restore it somewhere where it could be easily set. I have always, pretty much with a passion, hated Flickr. But I've given Flickr that $26 a year, every year, for the past 15 years, until last year when it went to 50. And I still gave it to them. Why? Because I know right now, if someone said to me, hey, yo, you got that picture from 2009 where we went on that? Yes. It takes me 1 second to find it. I go straight to it. I grab it. I load it. I put it up. I just sent you in a link of pictures I took in 2005 and my New York trip where, this is funny, I won an award in collegiates, which allowed me to go to New York to meet with some celebrity dude named Donald Trump. And then, so these are pictures from my trip. So I agree with what you and said. Yes, it can get bad. And I have forever been hounding people about building a system or just buying Flickr so that you could get to it. But I can pull up trips from Vietnam. I can pull up trips from Thailand, whatever, like in seconds. I just go to Flickr. I know exactly where it is. It's there. So you can get them if you take the time to put them away. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. But to Greeny's point, the reason why you wanted to have it be the best as possible, because even from all the way back in 2005, I can pull out one of these like 2 megapixel pictures and pull a color 8x10 that will be gorgeous. You know, and my first camera phone, like you said, was a Sony Ericsson. At that time, I didn't really take pictures with that camera phone per se, other than stupid stuff, because I had already had regular cameras, so I didn't think that it would be good enough. Had I known at the time the way I knew I was going to fall in love with it about 2004, I would do that. So everything prior to 05 is on a hard drive on the server back there on the Unraid. Once Flickr, I got a hold of Flickr in 05. It's been nonstop. And then so you have to want to take the best quality, because at one point you're going to need it. You know what I mean? So as we're getting to this age, I'm of the age where some friends are passing and someone says, oh, man, we don't have any good pictures. Oh, yeah, Doc's a photographer, Dick. He's the one that carries the camera. Where, hey, do you happen to have any pictures of so-and-so? Oh, yes, I do. And they're of quality to put in the program or to engrave onto an urn and things like that. So I am actually happy that I've taken a conscious effort to save all of this stuff where it can easily be captured. And I'm also happy that I had done them with the, you know, Canon 40D, or you guys call 400D, instead of just being the guy like, oh, I want to snap this, you know, with the crappy throwaway camera, you know.
Doc, because yeah. Muller's found some of your Vietnam pictures and posted them.
You should never click on Muller links.
That joke would be really funny if we all didn't have a lot of family members that aided in that war. So that joke's not funny.
Oh,
yeah, it is. I'm not having that.
Not to me.
Oh, no.
It was a joke about you, not them.
but it's close to home.
So the next thing then, let's move on from that story because Doc's going to go otherwise. Jamf has done a survey. Apparently, people who use Macs in the workplace are more productive, more creative, and more collaborative. Discuss. This should take us through to the cool things.
Jeez.
I mean, kind of self-serving, right? Like, a company that is providing like software for Macs in the workplace is doing a survey with their customer base for the most part, probably.
Yeah, a little bit. 1,285 employees from various size companies across the world were asked a series of questions about Macs in the workplace. The results suggested high levels of employee satisfaction from Mac users.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, at least.
Go on, James.
I was going to say, it's weird, isn't it? If you put Macs in the NHS, for example, how would that look then? You know, is it nice to be staring at a nice screen, you know, that's nice and big, aluminium, very shiny? It feels like they're investing in people. Or actually, when you do go and look at the NHS, they've got a bunch of Dells all knackered and smashed in the bottom corner and they need to be updated. They're like 10 years old. You know, so people don't really like using them, and it does make them feel like, oh, it takes ages to load an X-ray up on them, for example. You know, I've seen that firsthand. So I guess if you give somebody a Mac, they are going to be a lot more happier and, like, feel invested in, because they know it's an expensive computer they've been given a lot of the time. A lot of people who will be happy. You know, if you go on LinkedIn, the amount of people who post, oh, great, started my new job today, look at my lovely welcome pack. And normally it's a MacBook Air, you know, a photograph of MacBook Air with some chocolate and a brand new mouse and a mouse mat and even a hoodie. And I'm seeing that more and more on LinkedIn now, people sharing what they get when they join a new company. So obviously that makes them feel happy. Of course it does. They know how much that Mac's worth. Do you see people posting photographs of, oh, I turned up my new work today, I've got a 10-year-old Dell?
Oh, and that might actually happen, but for a completely different reason.
Running XP. Barely.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, green landscape of grass, blue sky, and you're like, boom, yeah, boom, man, you nailed that boom, job. Boom. Nailed the job. Nailed the job, man. Nailed it.
Job,
so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends a little bit on the industry. I mean, if you go into, like, my line of business, like any, like, software company, just anecdotally, like, having worked at quite a few of them and, like, having talked to a lot of people, most people would be happy to have a Mac simply because it would make your life better, and like they enjoy having a like good machine. And yeah, nobody is excited about the standard Dell that basically everybody at our company gets.
So the reason that productivity goes up, the reason that productivity goes up is because there's no blue screen of death. It actually does what it
does.
That
does a lot for productivity. Yeah.
I'd like to stand up for PCs to some extent, though.
You'd like to say what, mate? I stand up for PCs. Yeah, no, PCs are great, and Windows 10's great, I've got to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So, I worked in Switzerland for a while, and it was a bit weird, and I had the crappy old Dell. Bizarrely, the QWERTY keyboard wasn't QWERTY. They sort of mixed all the keys around, but sort of got around it in the end.
Well, they put a Z in, don't they? It's German layout.
Was it?
QWERTY,
right. And it was, you know, it was solid, and obviously I'd prefer to use a Mac, but really, I mean, my job, we just got its job done, and they are good work machines, and they cost, to some level, a fraction of the price of a Mac, I would argue.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I got back to my hotel room, I used to have my fixer Mac. So I think different.
Most people masturbate.
Exactly, pretty much, yes.
Well, maybe you were, but with your Mac, okay. So that's, moving on.
But so I think, you know, horses for courses and different tools for, that's probably a bad word, mate, but different tools for different purposes.
Absolutely.
Bob Beach has finally signed in. He says, if they gave me a Surface laptop at work, I'd be extremely happy. Hospitals don't need PC on desk. They need dumb terminals linked to a network, says Muller. Very true, Muller, says Deep Pan. Someone's agreed with Muller. Jesus. If they give me a Dell XPS, I'd be equally happy. Just depends on the PC you're given. There we go. Good point, Bob. Good point.
I don't want to knock Windows. I have been running Windows 10 on an external SSD, and it's been flawless. So, you know, I'm not going to bash it. I just think that aesthetically, when you go to a job and you're presented with the computer you'll now be using, you know, 8 hours a day, you know, if it's a knackered old thing that looks like it's in about 58 employees before you even touch the keyboard, that can be a little bit depressing. I'm just going to put that there.
Yeah.
And part of it is that Apple is somewhat fashion oriented, or it's the go-to thing of all the celebrities and everybody. So getting something like that at work does give you the impression that you're cared about, even if it might not change your work whatsoever. It's just a feeling. You know, if you go to work and they give you a company car and they gave you a chance between a Ford Saloon or they gave you a Benz or a Beamer, you would feel better. And whether the car did any better for going around to doctor's offices and trying to sell them the latest cream doesn't matter. It's just the fact that they gave you a Beamer, so you felt better. It's simple. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Adobe Lightroom is coming to the Mac App Store again. If you'd like to have it now, it's available from Mac Store as of today. The software is $9.99 on a monthly plan, or you can make a one-off purchase of $149.99. I've ping-ponged whether that's a good value or not. I think it is. I think it is, because it's quite a powerful piece of software now.
Lightroom is really powerful.
But you think like you're buying Photoshop, which includes the Lightroom package, for £10. So that's what I just think. Maybe why would you spend $9.99 when you could spend $11 and have?
There's a lot of people that don't need full Photoshop, but what they need are those core features that are. Part of Photoshop, but are also in Lightroom. And so you get the package that you need that has the features you need, and you don't have all this extra stuff that can either be confusing, intimidating, or just simply not used. Now, that said, I totally get spending a couple extra bucks and getting full on Photoshop, because that's something you and I would use. But I think for many people, couple bucks less just for Lightroom, for them it makes sense.
Yeah, they wouldn't use it, I suppose. That's fair enough.
I'm still sort of hilariously observing the amount of people that just absolutely hate subscriptions, to the point where they go into flame wars in the comments about subscriptions. And having Set App and Adobe Creative Cloud and a bunch of other subscriptions. At first I thought it was crazy, but I did it because it seemed like I'll just try it. If I don't like it, I'll give up and I'll go back to the old way. And ever since I've switched, I would never go back, because there is something kind of cherry about constant updates and you never having problems. And Adobe's call-in tech support is a lot better than it used to be. I've only had a problem recently, but they fixed it in under 5 minutes. And it's fantastic. Like I would never go back to not subscription on a program like Adobe, where you used to have to wait 3 years for them to fix a sniggle, so to speak. And so here's a quick one. Mm-hmm. Years ago, we've had, transform tool in Photoshop is you hold down shift or you hold down shift and alt to constrain while you're doing it. Well, last year in October, they go, hey, for all the new people, we'll just take that away. You just grab a corner and it stays proportional unless you press shift. And this sounds great.
If you hadn't learned
30 years of doing it the other way. You had to go in and write a preference file and bury it deep in your system in order to make that go away. And I posted a video to YouTube, and I got about almost 10,000 views in that video, and I got lots of people emailing me or hitting the comments, go, oh my God, thank you, you saved my life, it was driving me nuts. And I was like, Adobe, why would you change something like that with the base that you have, instead of making the new people learn the old way? But I get it. If you're going to touchscreen surfaces, which is coming, it needed to be there. So we bitched about it and we, you know, hit them up and we say something. And rather than waiting 3 years for the next version, they updated it again. And now there's a preference. You just as there should be. If you're a curmudgeon like me, click the preference.
See now,
if you're not a curmudgeon, leave it.
I've
and that's where a subscription wins.
I've persisted with that though. I have not done that. I have decided to go for it and just, you know, I've got to adapt me dinosaur ways and I still can't. We're 9 months in and I still haven't got the muscle memory for it. I still go, oh.
Yeah, so now, so what you do is you turn it on and off. When you're busy, Ewan, and you're doing work, turn it off, do it the way we've been doing it. But when you're playing and, you know, you're trying to learn yourself something, then put it on and force yourself to learn a new habit. And that's how it should be. And again, if it wasn't a prescription, if it wasn't subscription, we'd be waiting 3 years of bitching about this. And true. Now it was a matter of months and then they fixed it.
Apple, I think this is a great story. This is my story of the week for Apple.
Before we move on, just very briefly.
Yep.
Can I ask a question? So is the version of Photoshop that you get with, I think they call it the photographer's package, which comes with
CC2019, yeah.
Is it different? Is that a different version of Photoshop then?
No. There's only one Photoshop.
No. So what you're saying, it's a different version if the last package that was available that you could buy as a package, it's different from that because they update it constantly now. So the current version is 2019.
Okay. So the current version is the current version.
It's and you could have 2018 on your thing if you haven't got automatic updates on.
Oh, I see.
Because I've got both apparently, which is a bit of a pain in the ass, but... this is my favorite story. I love this story. Apple is committing between 5 and 30 million to make Oscar-winning movies.
Oh.
It's much.
This is so ambitious. Apple, they haven't produced a successful TV series yet. Apple plans to produce 6... Yeah, absolutely. Plans to produce 6 small-budget movies a year with an eye towards stories that could win Academy Awards, according to the New York Post. Apple's looking to spend 5 to 30 million per project, said a source inside the company, and being driven by Netflix's recent spate of Oscar nominations and win for Best Foreign Film with Roma.
I mean, you know, again, when I first read this, I thought, well, we're probably laughing because of their track record right now, but remember when Netflix came out here in the UK, it was absolute trash. I mean, I paid, what was it, 10... like £7 a month, whatever. Here in the UK, we were so restricted with our content and it was just poor. I was looking what America had and they started getting some really good shows and was really jealous. I moved to France a bit, come back and suddenly Netflix has exploded. And quite literally, I sit there some nights and I'm like, there's so much stuff on here and quality. I just watched I Am Mother and it's just incredible film. And probably there's some sort of award needed for that film. It was so well done. So I think maybe, you know, maybe a year or 2 years' time, we'll look back on this story or about, you know, especially Apple TV Plus, and probably think, yeah, they knew what they were doing. They started off small and just generally got bigger because I think Netflix has proved to everybody that you can make outstanding content once you get those sort of subscriptions in and people start, you know, really believing in it. But for now, yes, the track record is pretty bad. And we don't mock it, but they've got a lot to prove. But I think they do it. They're going to get there.
The track record is bad right now. That is absolutely true. But I think the way we need to look at Apple's video content, that their original content that they're creating, we need to look at it as if there were two different companies. There's the one Apple that tried to produce their own shows, and we got Planet of the Apps. And now there's this different Apple, which is the Apple where they went out and hired the people that made successes like Game of Thrones and Westworld and said, okay, go and do your thing and get and make really good content. And so this new company, so to speak, is the one that's going to start rolling out shows this fall. I have a lot more confidence knowing who's behind all of this content, this new content, that they can produce that high quality Oscar content than the Apple that made Planet of the Apps.
Yeah, I mean, just go back like to beginning of June when they showed the first trailer, and also to like the Apple event in, what was it, March, where they announced Apple TV. And I mean, yeah, they didn't give too many details, but from all we've seen, I have to agree with Jeff. I think the stuff they're working on is really, really good. Like, am I going to like everything? No, because that's personal to some extent. But the new Moon Space Race show, I'm incredibly excited about. Like, I wish I could see it today.
Yeah.
And I've heard from some people from at Apple that have seen it, actually have gotten like advanced previews, that it is really good.
As I understand it, though, you can't win an Oscar with a film from Netflix or Apple at the moment. Any sort of digital content? Ooh,
they did.
No, you did. What you have to do is a limited theatrical release, and then you qualify. Mm-hmm. So Netflix and Amazon have both done this. Amazon has also done wider spread theatrical releases. But yeah, you just need a limited run theatrical release. And there's a certain window where you have to do it by, and then you qualify for an Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
If you went to the movie Gringo, when you sat down, you had your popcorn and stuff and in your pie hole, the first logo that sweeps across after turn off your phone was Amazon Films. And then it went into the other production houses. So Jeff is 100% correct. I just remember the thing that set Netflix apart, and it was kind of a perfect timing. They were moving into the streaming stuff very heavily. And there was a guy who has since fallen from grace who went to HBO and said, hey, I want to produce this show and I don't have a working title yet, but I'm going to need a lot of money to do it. And we're going to come correct. And it's going to be sort of like West Wing, but leveled up for adults. And HBO said, no way, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole. And he was asked out. He had nowhere to go. And so he went to Netflix and he said, hey, can I produce this show? And Reed Hastings goes, yeah, we'll take a chance with it. And that was House of Cards. Immediately, about 2 months after that, HBO goes, oh, crap, we screwed up. And then they signed Steve Buscemi to do Boardwalk Empire. But originally, they didn't think an actor could make his own thing and make it good, because he wasn't coming with the same ilk as a Ron Howard, funny director, actor turned director, but as a Ron Howard or a Steven Spielberg, whomever. So they just didn't believe Kevin can do it. And at that time, Kevin was doing things in Vegas where he was bringing independent filmmakers. So like Ewan and I could go to Kevin Spacey's independent filmmaker school and try to become an next director. So they were just looking at him like, this guy is, he's an actor just, you know, holding on to what he used to have, and screw that. And did they ever screw up? And so once House of Cards blew up, then Hemlock Grove, Orange New Black, like all of these things started popping off. And they were doing fine until they decided to reboot Lilyhammer, which was a joke. But other than that, I mean, in the beginning, they were like home run after home run after home run after home run. So Apple did the right thing. They did what Netflix did back in the day, as they went and got bosses who knew what they were doing.
The thing is, though, that good TV shows and movies are made and broken not by actors. It's, and to a certain degree, not even directors. It's more about the editing. And it's certainly about the writing. If you've got a shit script, you're knackered before you start. And if you've got a dickhead in the edit room, you're knackered as well. You need the directors to a certain degree, and cinematographies to a certain degree. But even if that's been shot, you know, averagely, you'll still get away with it if you've got a good edit. But you cannot. Yeah. But you can see some of the stuff that comes out in TV shows, the cheap TV shows. What's killing it is not the actors. What's killing it is a crap script and crap editing.
It's always funny in season 2 or 3 of any kind of sort of show gaining traction where the lead actor or one of them decides they want to write an episode, and you can immediately tell
it's
a different writer. When we had Titties in Teeth, True Blood, and about season 3, they started letting other people write. Oh, it got horrible. It was already a campy show in the first place, but it got super horrible when they just started letting regular folks write. And I was like, I'm done.
What does 5 to 30 million get you? Suggest deep man in the chat room. I've put the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, there you go.
My other favourite story this week is 20,000 Christians signed a petition and sent it to Netflix complaining about Good Omens, which is made by Amazon.
By Amazon.
So they haven't watched it.
Did you see that Amazon?
Did you see the response from Amazon?
No, I
didn't. Oh, my God, it's glorious.
Oh, right. You'll
Patrice,
have to post that
you,
in
you
the...
brought it up faster than I did, so I'll let you take it.
Yeah.
Go on.
I think you might remember it better. Like, basically, Netflix responded to Amazon that they would cancel Good Omens if Amazon canceled Stranger Things.
Very good.
Yeah, the reply actually came from Amazon, but yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, something like that.
That's superb. Superb. Last story then. Finally, there is stuff that you can delete from your watch. So Apple Watch OS 6 is going to let you delete some of the annoying apps that Apple insists you have that you don't bloody want. So I'm guessing weather can go. Stocks and shares, will that go or will that be staying? Who knows? I still can't get rid of that sodding app off my phone.
Nope.
Some of them are going.
I like this because it reinforces one of my first reactions when I saw Watch OS 6 from the WWDC keynote, which is that this is the transition year. Next year is the year Apple Watch becomes a standalone device, and and giving us the ability to start removing apps, just it totally backs that up for me. So this is a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm new to the Apple Watch 4. I now have one. I bought it a good secondhand model, but it's a Nike one, and I'm just blown away. I had the 3 for quite a long time, and I know I'm late to the game on this, but really the 4 is just an incredible screen, and when I get a notification that somebody is streaming on YouTube right now, the artwork that comes on the watch is just so beautiful, so well, you know, you can just glance and you know which YouTuber that is. It's that much of a good screen. And because it's a bigger screen, it just makes it so much easier to interact with. When you see the Watch 3 after going from the Watch 4, it just feels like chalk and cheese. I mean, good old Apple, they're always good at doing that, making your current technology look rubbish when they bring something new out. But the 4 is definitely, it's an incredible watch. If you haven't seen it or played with it, it's definitely worth getting your hands on, because I've just been blown away by it. And it's the first thing I put on in the morning when I wake up. And I get like so much battery. When it goes on the actual charger at night, I think there's still 64% left battery. So it's absolutely killing it as a watch. And I love it. What a brilliant device. There you
Excellent.
Go. Excellent. That's my review.
James loves his 3-year-old watch.
Yeah. Great.
This podcast and all the others is supported and brought to you by a lot of people, but mostly TSO hosts. They're the ones that give us the bandwidth. A lot of people did this last week, and I'm really grateful to those people who bothered. Please take to the social medias, give them brand recognition. That's all they want from us. You've just got to do thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. That is enough for them. If you'd like to buy their service, great. BTN20 gets you 20% off everything. And I know Rob in GB Redneck in the chat room has moved so much stuff over for his customers to TSO host now and use the BTN20 code. And he said that they are brilliant. And he's had a few issues with just trying to work out how to do stuff. Got on the tech support. Yeah, that's dead easy. Do it this way. Here you go. And he said that the tech support is absolutely brilliant. So if Rob is saying that they're good, they must be good. Please check out TSO Host, and please make sure you give us that brand recognition. I know it sounds like a bit of a pain when I ask you to do this, but if you do that, then that keeps us on the air, plain and simple. We get to do stuff. We get to do new shows. We get to bring old shows back, because if we lose the bandwidth, we die. Simple as that. We cannot afford to keep it going. And I also want to take this opportunity to say thank you. We've been supporting Telestream with Wirecast with reads and stuff like that for the last few weeks, or for the last year. And we did it a long time before that. I actually look back through emails. We started our relationship with Telestream 8 years ago. 8 years we've been using them. And 8 years they've been providing us with a copy of Wirecast free of charge. The sad news is that's come to an end. We have to purchase it now, I'm afraid. And the reason is that they've swapped to a different model. Now, this is the great bit. If you've purchased a last version of Wirecast, I think from 8 onwards, and don't hold me to that, or don't hold them to that, because I can't verify. I think it's 8 or 9. If you've got a copy of 8 or 9 going forwards, if you pay $99 a year, they will maintain it as a subscription model forever. That is it. You will get the brand new version constantly for $99 a year. And I think that's pretty cool, because they've only done sort of like 3 or 4 version upgrades, and then you've had to go on. So it's not been as bad as like Parallels, but you know, they've had to charge for new versions of it or upgrade versions of it. But I think that's a really good model. I'm quite happy to separate myself from $99 for keeping what is absolutely a fantastic piece of software. And I want to say a huge thank you to them, because they gave us a $1,500 piece of software at the start, and we'd never have afforded that. And they've supported and maintained us for 8 years now. And that's the kind of thing that this network needs. Thank you ever so much to Telestream. And we'll periodically give them a little readout, because I do rate them. I really rate them, and I like the way that they've treated us for the last 8 years. So, again, please say thank you to Telestream as well. And say thanks to Hoya, because Hoya gave me my glasses. And there's a new product coming out, and Mark still hasn't sent me an email saying whether I can mention yet, but I know what it is. But I don't want to get into trouble if I go through an embargo or something. But there is a new Hoya product coming out that's kind of cool.
It's the Hoya monocle, isn't it?
It is. It's a monocle. That's right.
It's a toaster.
It comes with free moustache wax.
That's going to sell like hotcakes.
That's the bit that kind of tipped me over the edge, most definitely. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
All right, so where'd that window go? It is here. I record a lot, and one of the most important parts of any recording, whether it's audio or video or both, is a good microphone. And for the most part, wireless lavaliers are awesome, but they're also a pain in the butt to set up. And sometimes when you just want to do something quick and dirty, it's just somewhat of a hassle. Well, Rode, a company who makes really incredible microphones, has come up with this thing called the Rode Wireless Go. The receiver and the transmitter are 31 grams apiece. The transmitter has a built-in microphone, but it also has a place to plug in a wired lav if you have one. But you basically put the receiver on top of your camera or your side of your iPhone or whatever you're capturing the audio to, and you clip the thing that looks like an old school pager to your shirt, your jacket, whatever's, and you're set. And it's wireless. It has a killer range. It does that, you know, the modern scrambling to make sure you're not getting interfered with. It's quite incredible. The reviews on this is all over the roof. So much so that when I finally came around to spending my, get this now, $200. It's $199.
Oh, wow.
My Sony lavalier kit was $800. Prior to that, my Shure kit was $700, and my Sennheiser kit is $900. And all of them suck. I have all three of them, and they
No. We're not slagging off what? We're not slagging off Sennheiser. Sorry, my Sennheiser system kicks ass. And it's a 100 meter range.
Mine has the range, but the problem I have with it is heavy interference. But again, my location, I kind of expect that. But my other two don't do that because they have a different spectrum, I reckon. I love Sennheiser gear, but for quick and dirty, I don't want to set up the long stuff. This is it. And the range is pretty good from the reviews that I've discovered online. Anyway, this is so popular right now that it was rated the best product of NAB. And because of that, it's sold out. But you can get on the list. So mine should be coming about July 7th. So that's like 2 weeks. And then we'll know. But yeah, it's pretty incredible.
How many...
Unless the plot, what on earth does it do?
It's a microphone system.
Oh, it's just a microphone.
Yeah, yeah. He had a moment, mate. He's all right. He's back. No, Granny, it's a microphone system. So you clip it on, and the unit itself is a mic. But if you want to put a lav in and look a lot more professional and like you've got a 1980s pager on your chest, then you can.
So it's a microphone for...
It's a wireless microphone. So it's a transmitter and receiver system for mics. So you can stand without a lead down your trouser leg back into the camera to record your audio.
You've got a camera there. You're holding a camera.
Yeah, and you take the RX unit and you put it on the camera, and you take the TX unit and put it on your shirt.
I still can't see the point.
Okay, maybe it's not for you then, mate.
But if you happen to wear I watched a bunch of guys try this out. If you're wearing a collared shirt or you're wearing a shirt that's buttoned up, it hides inside really well. It's a little bit more Harry difficult Hill. On lady stuff. But what you can do on the lady stuff is put it on a stick and hold it out of frame a little bit. You know what I mean?
The court order I've got says I'm not allowed to do it on lady stuff anymore. My question, though, Doc, is how many channels is it? Can you buy two of these or four of these or eight of these and run them?
Yes, you can. Yes, absolutely.
So how many channels are there?
I forgot the answer now because you asked me that question. You can, but yeah, it is set up so that you can have multiples, and they either can come back to the same receiver or they won't interfere with each other. I believe it does both of those setups. And I forgot the exact answer to that, but if I find it, I'll send it to you.
Excellent.
And it also comes with a push-in windscreen. And it does that thing where, like my new Sony one does, where you just turn them on and they scan all the channels and they pick channels rather than being stuck to one channel that's always full of interference.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they do that, you know, spread spectrum type thing.
We've had a review. Thank you very much. If you haven't left us a review recently, or you haven't left us a review at all, don't leave it until another 2 years when you're pissed off with us or something and leave a one-star review. Leave us a nice review now. This one's come from Gyps. He's put both this and The Big Show. Great mix of banter and hosts. They don't take themselves too seriously. When they miss a week, I have a two-hour slot to fill in my time and my commute becomes really boring. My 13-year-old, this worries me because some of the shit we come out with. Oh, I can't say that. My 13-year-old has got into the show as well, and he really enjoys it too, because he's not supposed to be listening to it, probably. Great mix of multinational contributors, all under the British Tech Network. Keep it up. And where's the Microsoft show? Because I live in both camps. Hello, Gyps' son. Special shout-out for Gyps' son. Thank you for listening. Don't listen to a word we say. Listen to your dad. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, pal?
I have something that's practical today. I do a lot of traveling, and I like to keep track of exactly where my laptop bag is and where my APAP machine bag is. Ooh. And so I'm betting we've talked about Tile in the past. It's probably been a cool thing for someone before, but
no, I don't recall.
It's my cool thing.
I don't recall. We have talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's about time we brought it up. And I'm using the newer Tile product because the old Tile product, it was disposable. I mean, when the battery died, that was just it, which just seemed kind of sucky to me. But they updated them a while ago, so they now have replaceable batteries. And they're not any bigger than they were before. So I have one on my APAP machine bag, another one on my laptop bag, and one with my carry-on. And it's great because if any of my bags gets out of range, I can get an alert that that my bag isn't near me. And if you have a scare like I did on one of my recent trips where I thought my APAP machine had after I'd packed it up, had disappeared out of my hotel room. Nope, it had fallen behind the desk. Thank God the case is padded. But I was able to hit the button and the little alarm sound started going off, so I knew right where it was. And anyhow, these things are just great. So if you have stuff you need to keep track of, the Tile Mate, I think, is really nice because it's thin. You can replace the batteries now, and they do a nice deal if you're buying packs of them.
So, yeah, no, $25 for one, but you can pay $60 for a 4-pack or $110 for an 8-pack.
Yeah, and when you buy the 4-pack, you get an extra tile for free.
Yeah, the free slim.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, cool. Good pick, mate. Like that. Greeny boy, what have you got for us, man?
Well, I would like to put it in the chat room, but I still can't get that thing to work.
Okay. But, text it to me if you like, then.
I'm not entirely sure how it works, but it's just amazing. It's Mac OS X Lion CSS3.
All right.
So it's incredible. So if I spell it out, so it's just fun. It's just an amazing piece of coding. So if you go to /Mac-OS10-Lion-CSS3, it's basically a working copy of Lion within a browser. And
right.
You know, it's not fully functioning, but it's just an example.
So Google Lion in a browser, maybe, then.
Oh, or do that. You could do that, that if would you work, want to.
Perhaps, yeah.
There you go. I did a Google search on macOS Lion CSS3, and there you go. So I put it in the chat room for you.
It's in the chat room for you, mate. There we go. Greeny's cool thing.
It's so clever and sort of an
example
of the amazing stuff that you can do with HTML5 and CSS3 and all that sort of stuff. Love it. It's
excellent.
Free.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much.
That's really cool.
James, yours is going to cost me money, I fear. You're on mute, dude.
Apologies, I'm still new to this.
Don't worry, mate, I can edit. I can edit. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, it's the old thing where you're standing in a queue and you get your phone out and go, I have quite literally got 2 minutes to play a game. I picked this up and it was almost jokingly I picked it up thinking, like, this will last me about 4 seconds. It's just a scrolling shoot 'em up, if you like, but it's one of the old arcade ones where obviously your ship goes upwards and the aliens come down. And I kind of, I'll say tongue-in-cheek, when I first downloaded it, I thought, I'm going to delete this in a minute. But suddenly, when you start listening to the sound effects and actually start looking at the graphics, it is a completely different game. It's really, really cool. And I have been addicted to it for the past 3 weeks. I'm still playing it. Haven't paid a penny, so there you go, free. It's called Skyforce Reloaded. And there was a previous version the developers did, and they're from Poland. They've just done an updated version, if you like. So make sure you get the latest one. It's called Skyforce Reloaded. But it's absolutely brilliant. And the sound effects are like you are in an arcade. And I've got this kind of idea that I might, at some point, build an arcade cabinet and have this in there on a joystick, because it would be phenomenal. It would absolutely work really, really well. It's such a great game. It costs you nothing. Skyforce Reloaded. It's a great little iPhone game, and it will keep you entertained. And again, put your headphones on, because the audio is incredible. Really helps the story as you go through the levels. Just another quick one, a hardware one. I've been using one of these. This is a Samsung portable SSD, the T5 model. So I'm using this to run Windows 10 on. So I boot into this SSD. It's very good, quite cheap. It's a 500 gigabyte version. But it's actually not bad. It's USB-C and obviously USB as well. But recently I've picked up a SanDisk, the new SanDisk range, which is these kind of rugged versions. It has an orange corner on it where you can sort of put on your keys, basically. And it's obviously sort of water resistant, etc. This thing is absolutely beautiful. This is a 1 terabyte version. So I use this because I want to put all my 3D models and textures and have quick access to them. This is incredible, and it feels a lot more durable than the Samsung model. And look at the size difference. There's, you know, this is a lot thinner, and because you've got the orange thing, you can put it on your keychain. And the tactile feel you get off this really makes you feel like you can put it in your pocket, and it won't be damaged. So I highly recommend that. I'll put the link into the chat room. I did get on a bargain through Amazon, so watch out for Amazon if you look, if you got your eye on this, because at the moment they're quite expensive for a 1 terabyte model. But I did get it for about 120, if I remember rightly. So if I looked right now, the 197, which is a huge jump. I don't know why that is, but I'll put a link in the chat room now so you can have a look at that. But that's a SanDisk SSD 1 terabyte rugged. It's absolutely beautiful and feels great.
Excellent. There you go. Well done. Like that. Patrice, what have you got for us?
I'm going to continue with the theme I started last week and recommend a TV show. And this time around, it's going to be season 3 of Designated Survivor. I'm a big fan of Kiefer Sutherland?
Kiefer Sutherland.
This guy. Have been a big fan of that show from like since the beginning, like before it was even like on air, like when they announced it, I was very excited about it. It has only gotten better, like once they, I don't know whether they've already planned to go this route or whether they've just figured out that this was what they were, where they were heading, because it started out with the whole topic of like, okay, the government is gone and like rebuilding and everything. And it has morphed into, what is actually a good government? Like, what are the like values and things to do? Like, how do you, like, as someone who's like running, in this case, is the president of the United States, who wants to be like the best president ever? How do you do that? Like, what is involved? How do you navigate the stupid political landscape and like figure out how to deal with it and still be like true to your morals and so on. So it's a really, really, really good show. I'm still going through them. I think I'm about halfway through the season, and it is like, it's addictive. So it's on Netflix. Netflix picked it up after, I don't know who owned it before, dropped it. And I think it's only gotten better this time. I didn't particularly like season 2 that much, but season 3 is really good. And they just killed off like one of the main characters, which is Maggie Q. I don't want to spoil it, but it is like, I was a little bit sad.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. Like that. My cool thing is an oldie but a goodie. I'm putting it on the screen. I don't know if you remember this. It's called Ten Pin Shuffle. It was possibly one of the first games that ever came out for the iPad, and they've updated it to 64-bit, and you can play 10-pin shuffle on your iPhone or iPad still, and it was always one of the best games. I really enjoyed it. So you can play shuffleboard or you can play bowling with it, which I'm doing now on the screen, along with a whole pile of other things. It's as I recall as well, it was free, so it's not going to cost you a penny, unlike James. There we go.
Whoa, hang on a minute. Skyforce is free?
Yeah. Brilliant. Scott, I love the fact that Doc brought something that cost $200 and I still had a go at you.
Yeah, I know, right? It's because I've not been on. It's my fault.
Oh, excellent voice. Where can I get a hold of you, Doc?
James, the reason why the price fluctuates is because the memory inside price fluctuates. So there you go. This thing is rad. I have like 6 of them. Anyway, all over the internet, at DOCROCK, and popping videos on the YouTube or at youtube.com/DocRock.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for your time, as always, and getting up bloody early.
It's disgusting. I'm going back to bed.
Good lad. Jeffrey, about to get up bloody early next week. Where can we get you?
I am over at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com. And, yep, here's my SanDisk. They're awesome little drives. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. I'm on the socials. I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm easy to find.
Excellent. Greeny boy, before you melt in that Shropshire sunshine, on the longest day. Where are you?
You can find me at britishmac.com. I had the Lurgio the weekend. I was in bed for 3 days.
Oh, bugger.
So I was hoping to get one out on Monday, which was a full moon, which is my normal release date for a full British Mac. But I failed because I could hardly talk. However, I'm back. So if you're interested in this idiot, head over to britishmac.com and you can find me on iTunes as well. Also Twitter, if you really want to, which is British Mac. And obviously we talk a lot about politics and about the new Prime Minister and everything else.
I hope not.
No, we don't.
Good lad.
A blooming word.
Good. James, where can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could get me on a obligatory hold up your SanDisk to the camera, obviously. You can find me on Twitter at James Rickards, or also over at udemy.com/AppleMotion5. Thank you very much.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, finally, where would you be?
Oh, every week here on the Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, pal. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be here again next Friday with another Mac Show. We're back at 6 o'clock, so another half hour, and we'll be here with another photo show. I've actually done the doc. It's all ready to go. In 2 weeks, mate. Oh. And then we're back on with the big show at 8 p.m. Don't forget, next week is going to be a really packed day. So 1 o'clock for Crack at the Rootless. 4 p.m. for the Mac Show, 6 p.m. for Photo Show, and 8 p.m. for Big Show. What a week it's going to be next week. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.